From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, August 20th. I'm Abby Larico. Latino immigrants in the Midwest sometimes find it hard to get federal funding to start a farm. Some nonprofits are stepping in to fill the gap.
When we have foundational money, it's been really nice to be able to offer farmers either cost share programs or more technical assistance without many strings.
That story coming up after the news on The Gateway. Officials at SSM Health hope a new urgent care clinic exclusively for mental health patients will ease pressure on the region's emergency rooms. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports SSM Health is opening the walk-in clinic on the campus of St. Louis University Hospital on South Grand Boulevard.
The urgent care clinic will treat patients with psychosis, depression, addiction, and other mental health issues without an appointment. Workers will assess, treat, and medicate patients and help make appointments for follow-up care. The urgent care clinic is the first of its kind in the city and the second in the region. Dr. Eric Macias is SSM Health's chief medical officer for behavioral health. He says in recent years, more people are coming to hospitals seeking treatment for mental health problems.
These crises have been overwhelming the emergency rooms to the point that some emergency rooms are creating separate areas just for psychiatry and just for mental health.
Workers from the housing nonprofit Places for People and the city's Behavioral Health Bureau will also work at the location. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
A St. Louis LGBTQ plus advocacy group says the Missouri Department of Revenue's recent policy change on identifying documents poses challenges for trans and non-binary people. The department now requires gender reassignment surgery or a court-ordered gender declaration to obtain a driver's license or ID. The advocacy group PROMO started a campaign to help people report issues with updating their gender on documents. Katie Erker-Lynch is PROMO's executive director.
This decision is an attempt to stop recognizing trans people, gender expansive people, non-binary people in public and civic life.
The Department of Revenue previously just required residents to complete a gender designation change form to receive their new documents. Monday was the first day of school for thousands of students in St. Louis public schools. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley rode with one family as they dropped their kids off.
So, did you look where your first class is?
Mm-hmm. I'm in a 7-seat Ford Expedition with Sybil Naidu and her 3 kids. It's the first day of school, and we're pulling up to the McKinley Classical Leadership Academy in St. Louis.
This is amazing for the first day. I was anticipating, like, being backed up way down the street.
Leading up to school starting, concerns about student transportation, hiring, and the district's finances have risen. Over the weekend, the school district shared they were scrambling to find transportation for 1,000 kids after a vendor pulled out. SLPS spokesman George Sales says they've been rebuilding their transportation systems from the ground up.
Today is the day that we get to actually see it in action and really start learning, start figuring out what it is that works really well, what are the things that we can improve upon.
He says despite all of the issues within the district, education is their top priority. Sybil Naidu says that's all she can hope for as she drops her kids off.
It looks like it's going to be backed up, so you guys can offload here. All right, have a good day. Love you. I'll see you after school. Just know where you're meeting after school.
Less than half of kids in the SLPS district will get to and from school by bus during the first week of school, and the rest will take public transportation and taxi cabs provided by the district or ride with their parents. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Freshman student enrollment at the University of Missouri has increased 16% compared to last year. With more than 6,000 students in the cohort, some students have expressed concerns about their classes, dining halls, and parking garages being too crowded. Freshman Jason Cabra says some of his classes on the first day of school Monday were standing room only.
Because we have a big freshman class, I just came from Chem 1, and we had the entire lecture hall like filled up. We had some people standing. It was very crowded.
Even though he is a freshman, Cabra lives in an off-campus apartment, U Center, that the university contracted to make room for the larger freshman class. A 4-bedroom, 4-bathroom apartment in U Center costs nearly $13,000 for MU students per semester, about $3,000 more than the average single suite on campus. MU Residential Life also opened a former sorority house for student living and added more beds to dorms. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin was among a few Illinoisans to take the stage at the DNC last night with a rallying cry for labor unions. Mawa Iqbal reports.
Labor groups were a central theme for Monday night's program at the Democratic National Convention. Leaders from unions like the AFL-CIO took the stage while delegates waved signs that read, "Unions, yes." Senator Durbin, whose parents worked in the railroad industry, says Vice President Kamala Harris will fight to bring back manufacturing jobs.
There's joy in this battle. When we win, we help people buy their first homes, send their kids to college, and retire with dignity.
Durbin spoke in the early hours of the convention and comes as a senator, approaching 80, has not said whether he'll seek re-election. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Heat is the deadliest climate-driven disaster in the U.S. Already in the Midwest and Great Plains, there have been several reports of heat-related deaths this year. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports, experts say many more people likely die of heat than the numbers show.
Extreme heat can cause all kinds of life-threatening health effects. Some are explicitly related to high temperatures, like heat stroke. But something like a heart attack, spurred by heat, can be harder to track. Dr. Alok Sengupta is an emergency medicine physician and chief medical officer at Mercy Hospital St. Louis.
If heat illness or heat exhaustion or heat stroke isn't listed as a cause, you're not going to know that that was a contributing factor. So it's definitely underreported.
Even without a clear picture of the data, the National Weather Service says heat kills more people every year than hurricanes, tornadoes, and floods. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Latino immigrant farmers in the Midwest face many obstacles starting their own businesses, especially when it comes to finding financial assistance. Federal grants from the U.S. Department of Agriculture can help, but those can be challenging to access. As Issa Lazariga from the Midwest Newsroom reports, nonprofit organizations are stepping in to help.
Sandro Lopez and his 11-year-old daughter Maria herd chickens into a pen in their newly repaired barn. The Nebraska family has been gradually renovating a 9-acre property in David City with the help of grants.
Farming, it's part of my life. It takes personality. So I want to follow my own path, like growing food and taking care of the people.
They grow squash, tomatoes, and lettuce here. A $50,000 grant helped Lopez build a vegetable washing station. The money also helped repair the roof of the 20-year-old barn. Lopez says being able to run his own farm, called Natera, is a dream.
The farm now, we have enough infrastructure to run a very small business.
Lopez arrived from Brazil in 2015. He integrates indigenous farming practices of the Tupi people with Nebraskan agriculture. They sell the produce at farmers markets and donate some to local organizations. Maria helps.
Yeah, and usually when we harvest them, we give them to a food bank.
Lopez is one of about 700 Latino farm producers in Nebraska, according to the USDA's agricultural census. Like other immigrants, Lopez struggled to secure startup capital. He was denied a USDA grant because he didn't have 2 years of production yet. Lopez wants the federal government to see Latinos as not just farm workers.
It's not bad to be a worker, but I want people recognize me as a farmer.
The USDA has launched programs dedicated to serving underrepresented farmers. Still, for some, obstacles and stigma remain. There are nonprofits that have adapted their funding processes to better support Latino and immigrant farmers within the Midwest.
There's a lot of barriers in those USDA offices, not even just language, but we're talking like immigration status, discrimination that's been recorded.
That's Valeria Cano Camacho from Practical Farmers of Iowa, an organization that supports farmers through training and financial assistance.
When we have foundational money, it's been really nice to be able to offer farmers either cost share programs or more technical assistance without many strings.
Applicants for federal grants are generally required to have a Social Security number, something new immigrants often lack. At Practical Farmers, any applicant is eligible for a grant regardless of citizenship status.
To be transparent in creating trust with community, being like, first, we are not taking any of your information and sharing it with anyone. We know that that is a really big and valid fear. And so we don't want to pressure you, but we also don't want you to feel like you can't continue with this dream if you want to own a farm.
Loans for immigrant farmers are also more accessible through another organization, the Center for Rural Affairs. The center provides loans to any Nebraska resident, including non-citizens.
Now the most magical place of all.
Back in David City, Lopez is grateful for the financial support he's received. He hopes to continue growing Natera with help from Practical Farmers. Next, he plans to finish remodeling the abandoned farmhouse on their property.
Gonna rebuild everything.
So then we're gonna move here?
Yes, I'm in
2 years. Oh man, I'm gonna miss that house.
Lopez teaches his children the value of a word from the Tupi people, Nimbojara.
Nimbojara means to be willing to learn together. So they just learning from Papa, what I learned from my grandparents and my parents, and they do learn from their grandparents and parents.
That is the legacy he wishes to leave. For the Midwest Newsroom, I'm Issa Lazaraga.
That story comes from the Midwest Newsroom, an investigative journalism collaboration with public radio stations in Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, and Missouri. It's being distributed by Harvest Public Media. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this has been The Gateway.